Caught away by who? That's going to be the question today. I want you to take note of a Greek word, horazo. All right, horazo. It's translated in more than one word in English. It's to force or to catch hastily, speedily, as in war, or and especially in the spiritual war between the kingdom of heaven and Satan. And naturally, as you all know, this in about 1830, this term was taken and it was turned into the so-called rapture doctrine. This very word, harazo. And it behooves one to know there's two people, two entities, two offices doing the catching. And it's very biblical. That's what we're going to cover today. We're going to start first, in all fairness, with 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where the so-called rapture doctrine comes from. It is too bad that more people do not understand the Greek that once the subject and an object is fixed, spiritually and even physically, it holds those values, and the gift perhaps is to be able to divide symbolism from reality, or that is meant to apply. Be that as it may, that's a gift, and most all of God's elect possess that gift and can tell the difference. But once you begin reading something, when a subject is brought up, until that subject is changed, the following message applies to that same subject and object. You can't insert. It's just like sometimes the way people read the Bible, and I don't want to start this off on a critical note, but they would say like, well, Billy Bob has a dog named Spot. And he says, run, Spot, run. Saddle up, Spot, and go get old Jersey. You know, I mean, that doesn't make sense, does it? But they change subject matter. And they change objects by inserting the Holy Spirit or the church, or when the topic is totally something different. And they show their ignorance. And being ignorant is not an embarrassment, really. It just means we don't know. I'm ignorant about a lot of things. And I'm proud that I'm ignorant about some things. I don't know what it would be like to have a hard hit. You know, I really wouldn't. I do not have the vaguest idea what it would be like to snort coke. You know, I'm as ignorant as can be on that, other than I see what. Maybe that's not too ignorant when you see the results of it, of ruined families and lost homes and, you know, whatever. But different subject for a different time. But we are taught in school how to read. So don't let man change those rules for you, even in English. Stick with the subject and the object. All right? With that in mind, we ask a word of wisdom from our Father. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. And Paul opens a discussion, and it goes thusly. Verse 13, chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, what has he said there? The subject is where the dead are. That's what being asleep means. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant about that, kind of as others are. I want you to even be joyful about it. Now, I know we miss people when they go, but we know where they are. They're with the Father immediately. As it is written in the Word of God, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, instantly they're caught away, speedily. They're caught away. That means Father takes them to Himself, to His own breast, and He holds them and comforts them. those that are deserving. The others, naturally, we know about the gulf that runs through paradise. But this is the subject. Now, don't let anyone change that for you, all right? Verse 14, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Now, that does not mean that those that were not in Christ have not gone to that paradise also. It's just that they're not coming back with him. All right? They're going to stay there until we're ready for them in paradise. If they weren't in him, God's not letting them participate in that great army that he's bringing with him for the defeat of Satan. All right? Got that? I mean, it's not a difficult plan. It just flows like honey. It's common sense, as all of God's word is. All right? Verse 14. Naturally, if you're a Christian, you believe that Christ rose. If you believe Christ is still in that tomb, the way many people believe that the souls are in these holes in the ground out in these cemeteries, you're really not a Christian. If you do not believe that Christ arose, why would you follow him? He would have had no power over death. Naturally, you know he did, so you better know everyone else has also. 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of God of the Lord." Now, we're saying this because Paul said so? No, from the word. And again, I quoted it earlier, Ecclesiastes 12:7. That it's written. That's the way it is. No ifs, ands, maybes, perhaps. It's set in concrete. It's in the word of God that we shall all, we which are alive and remain unto the coming, that's to say the second advent of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. Why? Prevent means to proceed. If someone, and that's common sense also, if somebody dies, what happens? Instantly the soul goes to heaven. So there is no way you're going to precede them. Why? They're already gone. That's common sense also. But so many people confuse that. They've already had man sink in their head, yes, it's going to be a wonderful day. The trumpet will sound and the graves will open. You know? That's not what the word says. But that's what they say. And people have heard it. Old Uncle Ned said that, and what's good for old Uncle Ned's good for me. Well, if Uncle Ned goes to hell, go ahead and follow him if you want to. Maybe he won't. Maybe you can pull him out. What I'm saying is, not being disrespectful to our elders, pay attention to the word of God, for God is in control, and you will be blessed. Otherwise, God's blessings will not fall upon you. You follow him, his word, not the word of this man or any other man. We cannot precede or prevent them. They're gone. They're out of here. You could pass a law in Congress tomorrow. No longer will it be legal for anyone dying to proceed to heaven. They could pass all the laws they wanted to, and they're out of here. They're gone. Why? That's God's law. And it will not change. All right? We can't prevent it. Verse 16. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel." Which one? Which one's gonna put old Satan in the pit? I feel it's Michael. That's not necessarily written, but inasmuch as he is the one that binds him in the pit, which is written, well, I don't have much doubt, but throws him out of heaven rather. I don't have any hard problem seeing that he's also the one that kicks him into the pit. All right. "And with the trump of God," who blows that? Gabriel. You know that. There's only one trump of God. It's the seventh. Don't ever let some man tell you, well, you see, there's a series of trumps. Well, seven is spiritual completeness, and after seven, there ain't no more. All right? Just ain't. And you'll read of this same trump in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51 and 2. the Greek word is the last in a series, period. It's the last one. And Christ is not returning unto this earth until that seventh trump sounds. That is written, that shall transpire in the sixth, you're going to be here. If we live that long, those of you that hear the fifth trump, if it's written what's going to happen there, you're going to experience. You're not going anywhere. We're going to stay here until the seventh trump and long thereafter. All right, a long time thereafter. We'll just have good company when the seventh sounds, though. Okay. Notice the colon. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, can somebody explain that to me? Why would it say the dead in Christ shall rise first? Because they're already gone. All right? Period. They're out of here. I do not understand why people have such problems, difficulties in reading simplicity. But they do, nevertheless. All right? Verse 17. Then what? After the seventh trump, we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There it is. Harazzo. Taken speedily. I mean by force. There's no choice, friend. I mean, you don't have a choice in this, nor does anyone else. They're going to be changed instantly. In the wink of an eye. Caught up together with them in the clouds. Paul speaks colloquial Greek, as you will find the same word utilized in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. It means a large group caught up in the clouds. I mean, how many of you ever said, whew, there was a cloud of grasshoppers back there? I mean, the sky was covered. Or there was a cloud of blackbirds. It's a figure of speech, all right, in a large group. The time in Hebrews 12, 1 that Paul would use this same word, clouds, they were fixing to run a foot race like at the Olympics. All right, you got it? I mean, Christians are going to gather together in one body, and what a cloud. All right, it means a large group. All right, to meet the Lord in the air. Now, this is the one that really throws them, see, because they don't know what this word is in the Greek, this word air. Well, is it air we put in our tire? Or for you people in Texas, tar. You know, you put air in your tar and so forth. I mean, I've lived in Texas a long time. I can say these things because I've been there. I've said tar a lot of times. And they didn't know whether I was talking about tar on the road or tar on a car. It's where the tar meets the tar. Okay. Oh, my. Well, anyway, the word is aero, 109 in your Greek dictionary, and it means breath of life. Now, what's your breath of life, body? That's what you're changed into. It's not. There is no way this Greek word can be used for atmosphere. Now, never let anyone dissuade you on that. You can document it too easily for yourself. It's 109 in your Greek dictionary. Breath of life, meaning your spiritual body, twing, at the wink of an eye, at the seventh trump, we're changed into our spiritual body, and we put off this perishable flesh. But it doesn't mean we're going anywhere. We got work to do still yet right here. That's why Christ is coming back here. Don't you think it needs cleaned up? I would hope you do. I even pray for it. Hasten the day when I see children killing children, and when I see world leaders lying like dogs. Well, dogs don't even lie like that, you know, to each other and to us, with no morals whatsoever about honesty. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. The day that comes along that I can't be honest with my fellow man in my dealings, you know what I mean? If I say I'm going to pay said number of dollars for that tractor and I shake hands on it, hey, you can write all the paper you want and stamp it with one of those rotary things in the distributor. A notary public? No, it's a notary public. All right. You can stamp it all you want. I'm just having a little fun. Y'all bear with me, okay? You can tell how I memorize things by association, all right? Can you figure out a distributor and one of these people that sit with the little pinchers, you know? Anyway, I'm sorry. If I say it, you can count on it. I'm going to keep my word. I don't care if I'm a minister of God or if I'm out here plowing ditches or digging ditches, whatever, because I wear many hats. My name hinges on that word as far as I'm concerned, and I know yours does too. I would never. It would break my heart if I lied to myself about a debt. I would know what I was coming to. That is not going to happen, all right? But our word is our bond, and it's important that, so naturally, this nation needs a cleansing. And hey, there are still a lot of people and citizens in this nation that are honest. Thank God the majority of them are. And if there is any one thing that pleases me in this new generation, they're beginning to say, I wonder how my mom or daddy could have done that. I want to live right and straighten myself. I don't want to go through that. I'm going to do it right. I tell you, that just warms my heart to see some of the youngers that were of a generation maybe that didn't care, went into other religions and so forth, and they come back out and see the blessings of God upon themselves. Anyway, meet Him in the breath of life body, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We'll never be separated from Him again, if you overcome, that is. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. It is a comfort. Not that you're trying to find that you're so weak that you've got to have an escape valve. You know, I mean, prepare the boat and so worried about the lifeboat that you forget to fuel up all the tanks. All right? Got to have and like a little kid walking around with your blankie. You got to have my blankie. I can't live without my blankie. You know, hey, you're tough. You're can-do type people. There's nothing difficult about the standards that God has set forth in those scriptures. He's coming to join us, and hey, with His help, with He being here, we can do anything. I guarantee you, we will have discipline, and we will have this old world ship shape. Because on the first day, what happens? First day of the millennium, every patella, that's your knee, every knee will bow before our Father, all right? Before the Lord. It's going to happen. So if you ever wonder, well, how long is it going to take us to straighten this mess out? Not long, all right? Why? Discipline. Cracking the whip. Oh, Lord. You don't. When someone supernatural, so full of love, stands before them, they will. Will some of them fall away again? Yes. Unfortunately, Revelation 20 makes that clear. So that change, harazo, is forceful. It's speedy. The rapidness of it would be as fast as a camera lens. That's how fast it's going. Will there be a choice? Well, there are times that it's used that you have a choice. And we're going into some of the other scriptures now where this particular word is used and you may have missed it. Why? Because English doesn't do the Greek justice in many cases. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew chapter 11. We're going to talk about John the Baptist here a little bit. You remember John was beheaded. People wouldn't receive him, but he cut quite a swath. He was the last prophet before Christ came in the first advent. And quite frankly, he'll be the last prophet before Christ comes in the second advent, as it is written in the fourth chapter of Malachi. Verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, I want you to pay real close attention. The kingdom of heaven, the what? The kingdom of heaven, that's what we're talking about, suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, I want you to draw a little line there in your mind or in your Bible, if you make notes in your Bible, and I highly recommend it. What is that word force in the Greek? I will tell you, it is harazo, caught up. They try to catch up anyone, such as John the Baptist, Christ Himself, or even you today. If you give Satan a chance, he's going to snatch you away. He's going to take your mind and your heart, and it may be on one of the best little outings you think you've ever had in your life, ministries even. Because Satan uses ministries, he certainly does. No one loves to preach better than Satan, and he documented that in his temptation of our Lord and Savior himself when he quoted scripture after scripture after scripture to tempt Christ, who was the living Word. He thinks he's good, and he is a con artist. And he will take your mind if he has an opportunity and swing it out of gear and put you in the ditch, catch you away quick, by force. It's almost so tempting that it is almost forceful at times, and it can happen so fast you'll wonder, how did I get off track this much? How could I let this happen to my family? You might someday, if you're sitting around and the whole family is just really growling at each other, you know, and this one is there and mama's not happy, and when mama ain't happy, nobody happy. And just, I mean, you better stop and think. What has happened? There's been a little snatching away taking places and you didn't notice it. Now, we humans can cause enough trouble by ourselves, but now there are, if you're really serving God, don't think Satan isn't going to try to put some delicious little things on your plate. He will. So, they take it by force. Do you know who the king of force is according to Daniel chapter 11? It's when the false Christ comes to earth and tries to take everything by force. Force not by the gun, but so forceful through supernatural miracles that anyone that has ever had a religious thought and it still remains biblically illiterate is going to be deceived, most likely. They won't have a prayer of a chance. It will be that convincing. Instantly, hastily, raptured into his camp. Some of you may wonder, well, why does Arnold sometimes say Satan's going to be saying as false Messiah, I've come to rapture you away? Because of this word? Because of its usage? And this is only one place. Only one place that it's used. Let's go, if we may, to the 13th chapter of Matthew. I know that you are all familiar with the parable of the sower. The disciples would say to Jesus, why do you keep talking in parables? He told them, visualize the sower walking through, broadcasting seed. Some of them's falling on the path, the way, beaten down hard. Well, seed's not going to grow on hard ground. Some of them fall in the thorns where there's so many weeds growing up that it just chokes them out. And you know that story. And then he says, the reason I don't speak other than in parables, not everybody's supposed to hear. Not everybody is supposed to understand. Do you know why? That's love. Because if one comes to understanding, and I'm not using the word understand like we might use, but I mean understand with a certainty. I totally, completely understand the plan of God and what's about to happen. Because if somebody that is not one of God's election that fell to Satan in his first overthrow might do it again, and if they were in knowledge of it, there's no forgiveness. There would be another unforgivable sin. But God protects them with a cloak of innocency that's pure ignorance. He's not going to let them see. And some of you, well, I sure don't want to tell anyone the truth that I might make them accountable. Don't worry. Don't worry. You don't have that power. Right? That's why when you plant a seed, so many times people will say, I never heard such stuff. Never heard the like in my life. Well, there's nothing you can do to make that seed grow because God makes the seed grow and you don't have anything to do with it. So, you don't have to be too nervous about overpowering someone with your knowledge and understanding. Right? It just doesn't happen that way. But there's a reason for it, and God might even bring them to knowledge at a further trip. But that's the subject here. He said, I don't want them to understand. And then he comes down to the point where he does want you to understand. And let's pick it up in the 16th verse of the 13th chapter of Matthew. But blessed, following what I just stated, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things. I mean, that's the things you see, which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. It's beautiful. It is a blessing to be able to understand the simplicity in which Christ taught and see it, not only hear it, but see it with understanding. Yeah, I can understand why that the dead are not out here in the ground, because God is the God of the living. Yeah, that makes sense. And you see it and you understand it. Verse 18. Now he's going to explain a parable. So certainly, when he explains a parable and puts it in simple language, we should certainly not have any problems with it. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom. Now, what is the word? The word of the kingdom. That's the king and his dominion. That's Christ and the whole world and the heavens, the universe. And understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away. I'll bet every one of you in here knows what that word is in the Greek. And catcheth away. Harazo. Raptures, if you want. And the word is not rapture, if you want to read it that way, but it's to catch away hastily. To rapture to a higher level of misunderstanding, not understanding. The wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. What is the way? The wayside is the path. It's hard, and by feet walking upon it. Now, listen to me. Let me have your full attention for a moment. What was it that the wicked one was after? And this is important. Especially in this generation. Was he after the kingdom of heaven? Answer is no. He was after the seed of truth. Do you know why? He's got his own kingdom, he thinks. Right? He wants God's seed, whereby he can provide God's children with his own kingdom. Don't ever underestimate Satan, and don't you ever take your eyes off what his plan is. Satan does not want the kingdom of heaven. He wants his own. That's why he would offer his own to Christ if Christ would worship him instead of God. Which is silly, and as much as if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. But listen to me. Satan raptures also. Only it's the mind. It's robbing you of the truth to snatch it away from you. That's why. Well, I'll give you an example. Some, you know, we send out 300 or more MBs every day. All right? And very few come back, but one did this past week. And we get about 20 to 30% of those as regular members. In other words, we gain about 30% of 300 people daily in this ministry. That's pretty good average, okay? But this one came back and said, please give this to someone else. I thought it was a very good tape, but my pastor says this is not, he finds fault with it, and so I must return it. Caught away. Do you see the example? Snatched from their mind. They were coming along pretty good when they were looking for themselves. But their pastor said, I can't go along with this. Why wouldn't their pastor be able to go along with truth? Because if his church example teaches rapture and he started teaching against it, what would happen to their dear pastor? Retirement gone? Paycheck gone? Credentials gone? And somebody would have to start digging ditches. Or something else, you know, or start their own church. But I'm saying, I'm not making light of it. It's a heavy burden for a pastor in a church to change a total thought and really get in and start teaching God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse and let the chips fall wherever they may. You're not going to be around long in many of them, but be that as it may, that's the way God intended it. That's the way people, I'm not going to say He intended it, but He allows it. But the important point, Satan wants to snatch the seed, which is the word of the kingdom, away from you. Call to mind Matthew chapter 23 for me. You don't have to turn there, just you'll remember it. It's the 8 woes, which are the opposite of the 8 Beatitudes. Remember them? And remember one of them that says, you hypocrites, you close the door of the kingdom of God to the children and you won't even go in and won't go in yourself. In the Beatitudes, God opens the kingdom to us. But Satan closes the door. He doesn't want the kingdom. He wants you as a member of His kingdom. And not too many people like to bet on a sinking vessel, all right, because his ship is going down. Now, why is it important that you should make specific note of those points that I've drawn out? Why wouldn't he want the kingdom of heaven? Well, hey, we don't have to even worry about that. I could tell you, wouldn't anyone be stupid if they didn't really want... I mean, if you're going to shoot for something, shoot high, right? So, if he doesn't want the kingdom of heaven, he's stupid. But that shouldn't be news to you. Of course he's stupid. Or he wouldn't be where he's at, already sentenced to death. So don't ever look for... I mean, don't ever underestimate him. But he is stupid. He wants to steal the word of truth away. Why? Because if he can steal the word of truth away from you, you'll probably stagger into his camp. You want me to say that again? If he takes the truth away, you're going to be like everybody else when he comes saying, I'm Jesus, 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 follow me. We got heaven right here on earth. Your debts are all paid, and you can have anything you want. As long as it's not offensive to the family, it will make so much sense. And naturally, if a person is not educated with that truth of the Word to know he's a fake, and that he only has one thing in mind, and that's to rob, to cheat, to steal, and to do murder. And the murder is not to your flesh body, but your soul. That's the way he operates. Harazzo, to catch away hastily, fast, speed of a bullet, take your mind if you listen to him. Don't ever forget it. He's good. But he's not as good as you are, because you possess the truth. All right, let's see if we may go to Matthew 23:13 is the verse where he closes heaven. You remember it if you want to make a further note. But I want to go to a different place now. I want to go to John chapter 10 to complete this lecture. John chapter 10. As we're turning there, remember this. Remember what happens in Matthew 24, where two women are working in a field, and one is what? Taken. Now that word isn't used, but it's still implied in the manuscripts. She's caught away. By who? The subject is Antichrist. Naturally, she's taken by the false Messiah. I believe those two women in Matthew 24 were grinding, weren't they, by the meal, and it was two men that were in the field. Whatever the case, doesn't matter. They were taken. So be careful, my friend. Satan is trying to close the doors to the kingdom for people's minds, and it is your mind which is the root of your soul, your spirit, actually, your spirit, not God's, that decides whether you are going to be deceived or follow the crook. It's up to you. I love the way Jesus teaches. You know, he says, if you get confused, just test the fruit of the tree and you can tell. Now, some people in testing the fruit of the tree seem to forget to watch the tree. Especially in this generation, we have a lot of, you've heard me say, newsletters and poop sheets. And like I said, that's what it is. It's poop, all right? Be real careful, because that's what a lot of them are, you know? And check those dudes out. Check their fruit. Is God blessing them? I heard one dude that he puts it on. Hear him talk, you would think. I mean, he even invents paint that'll stand 4,000 degrees of temperature. Whoa! Any idiot knows that's impossible. And people go along with junk. I mean, absolutely insanity. People I know and that have good sense, or at least I thought they did. Impossible. Hey, check them out. What's their tree doing? Is God blessing them? That's the way. Hey, if he isn't, what must you deduct? You pick a big old orange off that tree and then look that tree over. Was the orange sweet? Well, that old tree's, it's a good fruit, but the tree's about to fall over. Well, I'd be very careful then, okay? In other words, it must all, the taproot must be into this word, and you must discipline, I said discipline yourself in that word, or you're not going to please God. Period. That's just the way it is. People believe some of the, I don't know, some people will believe some of the craziest, insane junk. You know, like the guy. Well, you know what? Dave and I sent word to the guy. Hey, we know some people that'll make you wealthy. All you got to do is let this paint come down so we can put it in our little prop jet engines. You know, because we have to pay big bucks for stuff that doesn't have to stand near that temperature. The paint never got there. You know why? Well, I don't want to go into this. You know why? It doesn't exist. Yakety, yakety, yakety. Test the fruit. All right? And by their fruit you shall know them. And I may offend some, but hey, I've never worried too much about that. I'm a man of that faces reality every day. And I'm not going to look at the unreal. I'm judging by that is real. That you have assembled facts in your life to know when somebody's lying to you and when they're telling you the truth. And it comes down to that at times. I don't like to use examples, but it comes down to that at times. But you've got to test it, to know it, and not be taken out of that field. Let's just start with verse 1. Why not? Why not? Chapter 10, John has a way of teaching that I just love. And it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." And when that word "way" is used, there's only one way, and that's Christ. Always remember that, and it'll make everything real simple for you. Verse 2, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Now, if you know anything about sheep and their nature, it's real easy to understand this because it's just exactly like he says naturally. 3, "To him the porter openeth." That's to say the doorkeeper. That's St. Peter, isn't it? Somebody told me it was one time. Uncle Henry said, "St. Peter protects that gate to the kingdom." I'm teasing. I am teasing, really. Okay. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep, by name, and leadeth them out." Now, he doesn't do like some old cowboy, "Hey, hey, hey, get in there, sick 'em, suey, suey, suey." All right, now some of you farmers are already laughing. I got my sueys and my sick 'ems and my "hey" all mixed up, but I did that purposely. All right. You don't drive sheep. Right? You lead them, and they will follow. And if they don't know that dude up front, they ain't going. Right? I mean, people are kind of dumb, but sheep are smart. They can tell by looking if that's their boss or not. They can tell by his voice when he cries out. And you let a stranger walk up, I don't care if it was me or you or somebody else, a strange voice, they'll turn. They don't know you. So you better know him. You better know the shepherd's voice. And if you hear any other voice crying to you, "I love you, worship me, follow me, and I will perform great miracles." Or you should, have you ever thought of this slant on God's word and go off into some ricochet and while, in other words, start building a foundation 20 feet off the ground. That's one way you check these birds out, all right? When they start building on a foundation 20 feet off the ground, stand back and look at a building like that and tell me what's going to happen by God's law. We got 20 feet with nothing. Tell me, what's going to happen to that building? It's coming down hard. I mean, zoom. Well, that's the way a lot of people like to tell stories, you know, rather than basing it on the foundation, all right? So, know your shepherd. We have one. He is the shepherd. That is Jesus Christ, all right? The Son of God, the only begotten. And follow him. He won't drive you. I mean, you're free to do whatever you want to, whatever you choose, or to believe anything you wish to believe. You're free. But the sheep do follow their shepherd, or they are not his sheep. Period. Okay, and verse 4, "And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." 5, "And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." This word "know" here in the Greek, it's a very difficult word to explain in English other than to say from birth, intuitively. God's elect know that voice. I'm going to say it one more time. God's election from birth, intuitively know that shepherd's voice from this word. That's why many of you, as you were growing up, you knew there was more to God's Word than you were grasping or that you were being taught. That you had to search, that God, you knew there was something that you were supposed to grab onto and go with. That there was a purpose and more to life than you had been led to believe. That's intuitively the knowledge of loving our shepherd. Verse 6, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. They just didn't quite get it. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, that's truly, truly, I say unto you, I am, that's the sacred name, I am the door of the sheep. There is no other door. You start climbing over or taking a shortcut, you're a what? A thief. You're not right, nor is anyone else. You've got to come in and through unashamedly, boldly, come through that door, which is Christ. 8, all that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. You don't have to worry about real sheep listening to nuts. All right? They're going to do real good on their own. They'll crack that nut pretty quick. And when it starts stinking in their face, they'll throw it in the trash and get back into the Word. All right? Verse 9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He's going to be done what? Number one, saved. And shall go in. Number two, can come in. Number three, and out. And find pasture. What does that mean? What's pasture to a sheep? It's food. I mean, that's why a church has a pastor. The pastor is supposed to be over the pasture and provides fodder or food for the flock. All right? That's his duty. And it's supposed to come from here, who is the true shepherd, Christ. All right. He states there, what I want you to grasp is the freedom in that statement. Number one, you're saved. That's just the little old nipple on the bottle. All right? That's your little infancy Christian thing, is to learn salvation. Some people never get past that. And then when you come into the Word, you have the freedom of going in and out at any time. Why? You're His. And He gives you that freedom. Why? Because you mature and you know how to act and to react and to live. Verse 10, the thief cometh not. Now, not what? The thief cometh? Well, certainly he cometh. What does this not mean? The thief cometh not, but. Oh, here we've got a but here. That always brings in a new discussion. But for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Why? Because you've got his name right there, Destroyer, Destroyer. That is his name. That's what Satan means, Destroyer. That's naturally, that's what he comes for. And that's what he'll do to you. So don't ever be sweet-talked into it. I don't care how pleasant it may be. If it is contrary to this Word of God, it's a lie. Or we're not understanding something properly. Dig. I am come that they might have life. Why? God is the God of the living. And that they might have it more abundantly. That you can have a full life even today in your flesh. Why? How? By receiving God's blessings. Do you understand what a blessing is to have the anxiety of fear taken away from you out of your life? Just to trust Him enough to know you're going to make it? That He's going to see that you do, as long as you do your part. That He turns you into a can-do type person. Disciplining yourself and focusing on this Word, not men, not the work of men. And then showing this world what a can-do type person looks like. Hey, we can cut it. No doubt. That's why we discipline ourselves. That's why we are successful. God tells us how. And we do it. We slip up occasionally? Yes. That's why we have repentance. But the crook, Satan, only has those three things in mind. Not to save, and to bring you in, and to take you out, and to feed you well. To steal what you have. That could be your home, your family, fighting all the time, hooked on drugs, whatever. Accidents happen to good and bad. You know, it rains on both the good and the bad. But common sense is a great alleviation from accidents, if you know. Verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he's letting us, he loved you enough that he did that. It is accomplished. He has fulfilled that. He died on the cross, whereby you can repent when you fall short. Verse 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd. This is to say someone that is in the religious business as a hireling, whether it be for fame, for fortune, for money, or paid to preach. And there's nothing wrong with a true man of God taking a salary. Just because I choose not to has nothing to do with it. That's between myself and the Father. But one that does it only for that purpose. Like, let's take your higher critics as an example. The higher critics are not believers in God's Word. The higher critics, and it's very seldom you can judge 100% of a group, but I think I can do that without any worry of mistagging someone. The higher critics, and my mind races through the list, and I can't think of a one that is truly a believer in God's Word. Do you know why? They make their living, they draw a salary for causing doubt and live an entire life trying to disprove or explain away why we should believe the Bible. Well, let's take Jonah and the whale's belly. Now, logically, you know, we know that that could not happen. No, logically you should know that. But divinely, yes. All right. In other words, because God created that doggone in the Hebrew, made a special little compartment, furnished it, I mean, just like our little old ship, probably had a hot bar right there at the back. In an airplane, a bar doesn't mean a bar like it does on the ground. Okay, it's where hot and cold drinks are served, but not alcoholic. Okay, alcohol and pilots do not mix. I don't know why I said that, because I mentioned that our plane had a bar in it one time and a lady quit the church. So I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore buying an airplane that has a bar in it. At least we didn't have any B-girls. So anyway. Okay. Here we go. You know, sometimes when I start digging a hole, I just can't quit. You know, just deeper and deeper. Be that as it may. You know what I'm saying. All right. Be careful. Watch the shepherd. He set the example, and it's so simple a child can follow it. So don't let somebody pump a bunch of hot air to you, and you start flying like a balloon, and then have God punch it for you. It's quite a letdown sometimes. Be careful, okay? Now, we're talking about the hirelings. Verse 12. Did we get there? I didn't finish it, did I? But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. Well, who's the wolf? Well, that's the old devil himself, all right? Just the Antichrist. And leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf, are you ready for it? Catcheth them. You want to guess what that word is? You got it. Harazo. He raptures those dudes right there, okay? He catches them and scattereth the sheep. So, you have it in that respect. You've got it. That's the word rapture. He catches them right up and deceives them. And what does that mean? A hireling's not going to stick when the pickings are better on the other side of the fence, right? This, again, I caution. Every servant is worthy of his hire. We have many ministers that have to take a salary. Why? Well, they have to. You know, everybody's got to eat, all right, and their family's got to live. And just because somebody comes along and has a special agreement with the Father that the only way he will teach is if he blesses his hands and his mind in business, that he doesn't have to depend on other people for income, that's a special deal. So I don't want you to brand some good preacher that takes a salary as a hireling necessary. A hireling is one that does it only for the money. You got it? Not caring what the fruit is or what's happening, just for the buck. That's all he cares about. Naturally, when Satan comes along and offers bigger bucks, where's he going? You want to have a new home, boy? Have all your bills paid off and we'll put a chicken in every pot. You know, got a good deal for you today. Well, that's the way he steals and robs your soul. They're out of here. They're gone. And then Satan, what does he want? The seed, the children, not the kingdom. And he latches on. So, we can say a great deal about this harpazo. I want to pronounce that again. Harpad. P-A-D. Padzo. Of course, the D is not in your Greek spelling, but to pronounce it, it must be there. It would sound like H-A-R, P-A-D, heavy on the D, Z-O. I want to say that one more time because I think I mispronounced it once. H-A-R, P as in Peter, A-D, D as in dog, heavy on the D, Z-O. That's not the way it's spelled. That's the way you would pronounce it with the English tongue. To catch away by force and hastily, and it's always used in a war between the kingdom of God and Satan. That's why it's real sad when we hear of people being deceived in this generation. When Paul, the same writer of that 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we began with, chapter 4 rather that we began with, entered the writings that we have in the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where he would say, hey, I want to talk to you about our gathering back to the true Christ. It's not going to happen until after the son of perdition, which is the false one, stands in the holy place claiming to be Christ, claiming to be God. There is no way on earth that you're going to gather back to Christ until that happens. And some of you that want to believe a lie, he will say along about the 8th and 9th verse, I'm going to let you, because I'm not only going to let you believe a lie, but I'm going to send strong delusion down on earth at that time in your churches and your press and everywhere and let you believe it if you choose to. So, it's up to the person. Now, you'll have people that will say, oh, no, brother, you've never heard my preacher preach on that chapter. Because in the 7th verse, it says right there, only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, and that's the church. And you see, he shows his ignorance. Because the verb, he is not familiar with the usage of verbs in the Greek. The verb in the 7th verse is transitive, which means, put simply, there is no subject or object there. So it must transfer back to the subject and object being discussed for understanding. What was the subject and the object? Verse 4, Satan standing in the holy place claiming to be God, standing in the very temple of God. Church has nothing to do with it. And that's why many people will be deceived, is because of, if a teacher should teach that that is the church, what is he? What is he? Now, let's hope that he's ignorant. Because if he isn't, he's a false brethren and a false teacher. Whoa, what's the difference? Well, when God gets ready to judge, he judges an ignorant person considerably different than he does a false brethren. All right? That's somebody that knows better and still preaches it. I would not wish to be in their shoes. I'm at a stopping place, and I think I'm going to quit. Caught away. Yeah? There's going to be a lot of people caught away and caught up. I asked the question when I first started, caught up by who? I don't know. The choice is yours. Because we've got two offices doing some catching up. One is Satan, and the other is our shepherd. So you get on one boat or the other and have a good trip. All right? God bless you, Father. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for giving us that seed, that truth, Father, and thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. We know that we don't know everything, Father. And the knowledge that we do have lets us know how much we don't know. But we are watching, and we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit that enlightens us, whereby we have a better view. Thank you, Father, in Yeshua's precious name. Amen.